Spartans, welcome to Spartan Up Podcast. I am here with my partner in crime, Sephra, the seed huntress. We are on the farm. We're keeping our social distancing. We are exactly 6 feet apart with the microphones, but it's cool that we get to see each other. We'll do a little virtual fist pump. And today we got somebody really cool. We got Hannah Eden. She's got an interesting road she took on our fitness journey. Everybody takes a different road. Everybody's a different path. 1972, my mom was talking about yoga, meditation, health food. She was very bohemian like Sephra. Guess what? Nobody was buying it. There were no Whole Foods. There were no yoga journals. So everybody's got their own moment in time when they get excited about maybe becoming a little healthy, taking this journey.
Yeah.
Hannah's got an interesting one. She pivoted. She's covered in tattoos. She's a badass. I think you're going to like this. Stay tuned through the end because then we'll talk about maybe some ways you could all inject a little health and wellness into your life.
Yeah. And what we're all learning from this virus is now more than ever, being healthy is the most important thing there is.
Being healthy is in.
Yeah, it's totally, totally in fashion.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Honey Stinger, made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Use the code HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off.
Spartans, we are here for Spartan Up Podcast. I'm on lockdown at Riverside Farm, and I got, is it Hannah Eden?
That's right.
All right, because a different name is coming up. You got two names. And that accent, you live in the UK?
I live in Florida, but originally from the UK. Thank you for saying that, because everyone else says Australia. I've never been there, but thank you for recognizing it.
you know, the UK has like different accents, just like everywhere, right? And so is there a certain part of the UK you're from that...
Yeah, so I was from Maidenhead, which is Berkshire. So I came over with a Cockney accent and now sound like Queen, and I don't really know what happened. I came at 16, so I've been here for so long that I've just morphed into this really strange accent that not even English people know where I'm from. It's sad.
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. And rumor has it you came at, did you come over alone at 16? You leave home or you came with your parents or?
I came with my parents. So my dad had a job relocation. So I got dragged over here kicking and screaming. It wasn't the best part of my life at that moment, but was the best thing that I've ever done, that's for sure.
Was right into fitness when you got here?
No, not at all. A very different path before I found fitness, that's for sure.
Tell me about the path. I want to find out about the road, the Hannah's road to fitness.
It's a long one, or maybe not even that long, but I think that my whole life I've said this a lot on a lot of podcasts before, but it's interesting to kind of expose my past to an audience that I've never really spoken to before. So I did come over at 16, and prior to that move, I was definitely a very rebellious kid in England for absolutely no reason. Had great parents, had a great home life. But I just had this streak, man, this like, I call it like the dark streak in me. I was just a really angry kid and used to be pretty self-destructive. Got in with the wrong crowd, made some really silly decisions at such a young age, got influenced by a lot of bad people, you know? And so whenever my parents relocated me to here, it was like the worst thing at that point, you know, 16 years old, never moved house. It was like the world was just being pulled from underneath me. And it took a long time. I was super resentful towards my dad, especially because it was his job, for probably close to a year. And we lived in the same house. And then I think, I had a couple of professors that was something that was really hard. It was I had finished school in England, which you finish at 16. Then I came here thinking that I'm, you know, good to go. And I had to go back to high school to finish if I wanted to go to college. That was something that really was like tough. But I had a couple of professors that shined light through me. And I think helped me have a little bit of a switch in perspective. And I went from being this like really bad student and graduated with a 4.0 and did really well. And like tried to do everything that I could to try and turn over a new leaf. I think I grew up obviously at the same time, but I had more awareness that I was just going down this like spiraling out of control, we could say. So I wanted to switch that part of my life around and managed to do that until I got to Florida. And then I made my original move to Massachusetts, finished up high school there, and then came to Fort Lauderdale, Florida when I went to school to the Art Institute for photography. I thought I wanted to be like a rock and roll photographer that was just gonna party my whole life and take pictures of these rock stars and fashion models, you know. Turns out that I was pretty good at photography. I was a great student from what I'd learned in, you know, in Massachusetts those couple of years, but I was burning the candle at both ends. And I found this, the dark streak came out again, but in a very different way. I wasn't necessarily angry at the world, but I was very, self-sabotage a lot and kind of try and set myself up for failure and make really bad decisions, but in a way that was abusive to my body. I partied my ass off when I got here, lived that South Florida lifestyle for a long time, but tried to be a normal kid at the same time. So it spiraled out of control and got super unhealthy. And thankfully, around that same time, I stumbled across CrossFit, tried it out, and haven't looked back since. So it's saved me, I guess, in a weird way.
You know, it's funny, as I listen to your story, you're lucky, right? Because a lot of people don't, you said thankfully. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't make that pivot. It just spirals down, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think because I was able to make that pivot then, I understand that anyone can make that pivot. I was dating a convicted, attempted murderer at 16. I mean, I now for the rest of my life will make sure that I pay my dues. Like I will never make, I will do my life goal is now to make sure that I adds value to people's lives, not be a burden or be a negative part of their life. And I think that because I was able to shift and now it's not something that I have to remind myself to do, it's just become who I am, that anyone can make that shift if they really try hard enough. It's not easy. The easiest way is to just keep spiraling, you know, because you don't have to deal with what's at hand.
But you need something that comes into your life that causes the pivot. And so that pivot was stumbling upon CrossFit?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the rest of my life, the only way I was really getting attention was negative attention, right? I was just a rebellious kid. I'd be in trouble. It was always like disappointment, like or a negative thing that I was always portraying onto people or causing people to feel. So whenever I started CrossFit, I fell in love with it and I became really good at it. And I think it was because it was something that I was good at and it was a positive result. At that time, like I got obsessed with that feeling. And then that was it. It was like, all right, well, now I know that I guess maybe I was trying to, I still to this day will, and I'm sure for the rest of my life, try and figure out where this streak inside of me is from, right? But I think it was any kind of attention that I wanted, whether it was negative or positive, I got it. And now I was receiving attention in a positive light that was like, oh, cool. I can receive feeling, I guess. Through doing something great. But then that kind of spiraled out of control too, by overtraining, so many injuries, because I was just so obsessed with being good and not really taking care of myself that I learned another lesson that way. But I just keep learning these lessons the hard way. And then it's my mission now to try and spread that and inspire that. I have no athletic background. Everyone thinks I was born an athlete and raised like in this athletic family. You know, my dad's pretty fit. My mom's pretty fit, but I was 105 pounds in 2012, you know, and I've had a crazy transformation, but I just haven't quit. And that's the only difference.
Yeah. You know, I think people that just get after it, tend to be obsessive compulsive. And so you can get obsessed with the wrong things. And mm-hmm. most people do, right? It's actually, that's the large percentage, whether it's drinking, drugs, staying out late, just focusing on the wrong things. And then if you stumble upon something healthy, just kind of move that addiction to the healthy thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I see it at Spartan. I mean, there's 10 million of them now around the globe. And invariably when I talk to them, I hear the same stories. I was drinking, I was on drugs. I was having problems with relationships. I hated my job and I found this thing. And I think CrossFit and Spartan are actually very similar. I think in some ways they're religious.
Right.
Right. It's like a modern religion.
Absolutely. I used to call it like the cult and I was like at the front runner of it because it seems extreme, right? To someone that's not in it, but it is such, if you're in it, you don't understand what's outside of it. It's like, it's something that is inclusive and everyone can kind of relate. And, I'm convinced that energy, as human beings, we've only got so much. So talk about the, like just transferring this addiction to somewhere else. It's like the energy that I was putting into being a bad human or making bad decisions or trying to get my parents' attention by being a little dick child was not the right thing to do. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put this energy into being an athlete. And then whenever I suffered injuries, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put this energy into business. And now it's like this, I just shift my compulsive behavior into something different. And now I think finally I've found this space where it's good. It's not harmful to my health. It's a lot of fun. And it's just now it's just a matter of trial and error, right? And you're spinning plates, some will stay up, some will not. And it's just embracing the journey, I guess.
It would be awesome if we somehow had personality index tests in school where we could find you, right? At that young age, or even me, I was a bad kid. Not as bad as you. I think you were worse than me. I'm kidding.
I'm sure.
And then once we know that that kid has those personality traits, try to guide them into something where they could express that in something healthy.
Right.
Right.
And that's what I it drives me crazy when you see like the teachers in school that almost punish kids that are over energized and that they have an issue, they got a problem, and then they grow up thinking that their energy is a problem and they try and contain it. I did that for years. And then it's like, if you find the right outlet, it can only become positive, you know, if you apply it. So
you opened the gym.
Say that again.
You opened up a CrossFit gym.
I opened up a functional group personal training gym. So I started in CrossFit, but had Pump Fit running in the back of that gym Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 7:30 PM. And the coach over there asked me to create something that didn't mean CrossFit, because a lot of those classes couldn't fill up. So I came up with an idea I loved CrossFit, but also had a lot of friends that didn't and understood the barriers of entry and how intimidating it was. So try to create like a space that was not that scary. Like everyone can do it. Anyone can do it. You don't have to have any kind of athletic ability. So we removed reps and replaced it with time. We don't ever prescribe weight. We always let you choose or advise. And we have the lightest to the heaviest. So everyone's kind of in it. And then we removed the barriers of entry. We were no barbell work. We only lift dumbbells, kettlebells, med balls, and functional training. And we made it really fun. And so we branded it and made it like a place for adults to be adults. And we opened up 2015, and we're still rocking until this crazy thing happened right now. But yeah, it's been pretty cool.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Honey Stinger. Honey Stinger is made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Honey Stinger's waffles, energy chews, gels, and bars give you the fuel you need to push harder, go further, do all the things that we do as Spartans. For training and racing, you need convenient nutrition that tastes great and works. Honey Stinger is Spartan's official on-course nutrition. It's made with real honey. Honey Stinger started with a simple plan: wholesome ingredients, great taste, and, of course, honey. Why does Honey Stinger use honey? Using an ingredient engineered by nature, not in a laboratory, it has its benefits. In fact, the less you mess with Mother Nature, the better. That's why they're committed to the True Source Honey Pledge. And they've got a special code just for our audience. You can save 30% with the code HSSpartan2020. That's HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off, just for our Spartan Up podcast listeners.
And expansion plans outside of the virus?
Yeah, so this is our brick and mortar here in Fort Lauderdale, but we, in 2017, I started an online business just through one of these crazy experiments again of saying, all right, PumpFit's doing great. People like it. People are showing up. And then at that same time, I was opening up an Instagram and starting an Instagram page. It was almost like evidence rather than my mom saying, you know, you have a good idea. It was like the world saying you kind of have a good idea here. So I let my crazy ADD mind go wild, and we started to film every exercise that we have in our database and put them onto YouTube. And then I would type the workouts and link the exercises to it and then send it virtually. This is back in 2017, and that evolved into this beautiful monster that we have that is now the Heft training app, and we have a couple other subscriptions. But yeah, the gym here in Fort Lauderdale, what our dream was to continue to evolve, and it was almost like our selfish space for a little bit. It wasn't necessarily our number one money making business that we have across the board, but it was, we get to coach, which fills our cup. We have this beautiful community. It was right at the beginning of everything. And then this happened. So we thought, you know, we have to evolve with the situation at hand. So we decided to bring Pump Fit Club online. So now we're streaming the Pump Fit Club workouts through my online training app platform, which I think we'll continue to do because it's at a sustainable price point for this situation. And it's grown like into a monster over the past few weeks, just from what we've been going on. And it's still filling our cup, and it's still kind of keeping the evolution of PumpFit alive. I really can't wait to open back up. And I hope that we can make it through, you know, the recovery of whatever this may be. But whatever happens, the brand will forever be accessible online or in Fort Lauderdale.
Awesome. And selfishly, I don't know if you heard, I've been giving out free entries to gym owners. Did you see that program?
I did.
Okay, good. So use that if it helps.
I'd love that. I'd love that a lot. Thank you very much.
No problem. And so what drives you? I heard you went to Iceland. You know, we have a race in, we had a world championship in Iceland. I don't know if
you knew that. If you do it again, I'm going to be there. Just there. I'll either do it, watch, or just show up. That place has got a, I literally have the map of Iceland tattooed on my arm.
I love it. And yeah. So you ran around the outside.
Yeah.
Ring rope. And you didn't have roller skates on.
Unfortunately not. I wish I had Heelys, that's for sure.
I know. I've done some long runs, but that sounds like a long one.
That was brutal. That was pretty brutal. I don't know if I could do that again in the state that I'm in now versus then.
What drove you to push your limits there?
So it's a pretty sad story, but something came out of it, which was amazing. One of my best friends was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer 2 years ago in November. And she was pregnant. She was 6 months pregnant with her second child. And it was not looking good. And I think that I was super naive and in denial at the time of it happening. And I had previously ran a crazy mission with someone else, but it wasn't my mission. I was just kind of joining. And that was 230 miles of only running. And I was like, man, if I ever do anything again, it has to top that, right? And if I'm willing to do that, this is what went through my head, because I'm a savage, I guess. Whenever I found out my friend got sick, I was like, if I'm willing to do that for, don't get me wrong, an incredible cause for these orphans that I'd never met until I got to the orphanage after the mission was done, meaning my drive was just, I think, the challenge versus an emotional attachment there. But this was so close to home that I'm like, I have to do something crazy. And she was a really goal-driven person that, like me, always had something to visualize, hold on for. When we get to this point, we can stop, kind of thing, just to keep our head in it, because I could see everything else was just failing. So we sat down in the hospital as a joke and was like, all right, here's the deal. I'm going to do a crazy run. You're going to be at the end with your baby. And it was like this kind of like internal joke. And then it got serious. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really happening. And then she got really sick. And it became very evident that she wasn't going to make it through. And it was my way of dealing. It was my way of grieving, I guess. I just kind of shut down to the rest of the world and trained like a sick fuck. Excuse my French. I got myself a trainer. And I saw I wasn't an endurance athlete at all. Just performance, high intensity interval training. That's all I knew. Bodybuilding, CrossFit, never ran more than like those miles we did. We would probably do 20 at a time and then stop. And, you know, it was a very different experience. So I just was like, all right, let's try it. If I don't make it, I don't make it. But I'm going to set myself up for success to at least give it a go, you know? And while we do it, we're going to make this huge thing and we're going to try and raise awareness for cancer. And at the time, my mind was, I'm going to raise money for her kids, because her, long story short, after she passed away, the baby survived and Jess didn't. So I wanted to have like a college fund. My brain was going everywhere. And then I was like, all right, we got to get back to reality here, which is like you have a big presence online and people know that something's up. So what do you do in this instance to our point previously, when you know you're going in a bad direction, do you keep going down that way or do you try and make that pivot and go, shit, all right, I got to do something positive here and be an example, I guess, to the rest of the world and try and use something negative and turn it into something positive. So we did, and we made this crazy mission. I started training for 30 minutes a day, and then it just kept building and progressively until my training sessions were like 4, 5, 6 hours a day. And then we set off and we did it, man. I got Strava. I found this ring road. And we tried to do it in 8 days. We ended up doing it in 9, but I split the route divided the mileage into 8 days. And then it was like, all right, day one, we have to make it there. Day two, we have to make it there. And I had these distances set out. And then I could go into stories for days about the actual strategy and how it all went tits up on the first day. Definitely shifted some stuff around. And we did it. I have no idea how I did that. Honestly, I don't. We worked for 12 hours. We slept for 12 hours and just didn't stop.
That's awesome. I have almost similar experiences where I'm like, I'll never try that again. I'll never do that.
Secretly, part of me is so competitive that I'm like, I always say this to everyone. If you've done it once, you can do it again, right? Yeah. It's like the only thing that will avoid you now.
You can even do more.
Exactly. So now that was for the first year after I finished, everyone's question was, what's next? But I didn't. It took a long time to recover. Like I had some issues going on after that. So I didn't want to do something right off the bat, but now 2021's coming around. I kind of want to do something again. I got that itch and it was so powerful. And it drove me. And I think it honestly saved me. It gave me the ability to mourn and totally put all this pain into like a different place and then come back and try and rebuild and become like a regular human again. But I would love to know what I could do next, because that's something that I think about every single day. And it's like, you keep
I'll give you one. It has to be your own. Otherwise it's not as exciting, but you could chew on this one if you want.
All right,
I'll probably never get it done, but I've been wanting to do the entire Great Wall. It's like 3,100 miles. And who knows how many, probably a million steps, literally.
Yeah.
But I just got so much shit going on, but
I know. I'm with you there, but this, I just shut off. And I'll be honest with you, my businesses went boom, but I was like, I have to do this. Otherwise I'm never going to get out of this place. Like, I have to go. I did. I turned my back on my gym. I turned my back on my online like tribe. And I went into this really weird space for about 6 months, and I paid for that. And it took a long, long time to rebuild. So if you've got a lot of stuff going on, don't go.
No, I have a similar experience to that too. It hurt my business when I was crazy like you. it becomes very selfish in some ways.
Yeah.
It was good that you tied it to your friend. And you need that anyway. You need that to kind of pull you through, because you start to question, why the hell am I doing this? What am I doing here?
Oh, absolutely. Exactly.
Right? What are you doing now? Right now?
Right this second, I'm in my office. We've been doing a lot of lives. Right now we're going live every day, Monday through Saturday, for PumpFit. But we're also, I work with closely with Nordic Track, so we're streaming on their iFish platform as well. But I'm in my office today. We are about to do a video shoot for a new program that's coming out. And then I'm taking the rest of the day off and I'm out. I'm going to try and enjoy the weekend.
Nice. I've got a 24-hour race I'm starting. I'm putting on tomorrow from 3 p.m. Saturday to 3 p.m. Sunday. If you felt like it over the weekend and you wanted to pop in, I got about 1,000 people in there that I'm just going to torture.
That's amazing.
Yeah, feel free. CT, what's CT's second part of his name? CT Fletcher.
Cool.
Know CT. He'll be in there. All my crazies from Death Race and everything will be in there. You can pop in for 10 minutes if you want and give some inspiration.
I would love to. I'll have to follow up for the details. I'd love that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Marion, who's listening, could figure out how to get us together. How do people find you? I guess they go to pumpfit.com.
HannahEdenFitness.com. So HannahEden fitness.com, or my Instagram page is HannahEden_fitness.
Got it. All right. Well, you're awesome. I'm glad we connected. Coronavirus doesn't seem to be affecting you too much.
Honestly, although the gym is closed, as far as my busyness, I don't understand that break yet. I'm ready for it, but I'm excited because it's almost like the whole world is paused and I'm able to sprint at the moment. I've got all this time and don't feel guilty about working too much, or, you know, everyone else is kind of on hold. So it's been honestly, as much as it's devastating to the world, and this is the craziest time that we'll be talking about for years, it's been a really grounding experience for me. And I am always traveling. I don't ever stay home. So I've never been home this long for years. So it's pretty interesting what you can do whenever you're grounded. So it's
I've been married 16 or 17 years. My wife said, I've never been home for 48 days straight before.
It's exactly what my husband said. We've been together for 10 years. I'm like, wow, you're right. Yeah. It was, I think, my first time being home for 2 weekends in a row for like 5 years, which is not okay. but it's made me aware of that now, right? So whenever we go back to the new normal, whatever that may be, I think I'll be a lot more aware of how much I can get done without having to travel across the country for an hour meeting
It's so funny. I was on with Gary Vee this morning, and we were talking about this idea, just like you. So clearly we have similar personalities, which is, you know what? I'm going to fly to Singapore. I'm going to do their one meeting for 1 hour and come right back. And now that we're doing these Zooms and they're so real, right? I don't need to do that anymore.
I'm with you. I almost feel like the content as well, that I've seen other trainers that are professionals that are really putting out there, it's almost better because they're in the comfort of their own space, that it's authentic. It doesn't feel like stay and it's almost if you're able to play this situation right and try and get the best of it, I think it's a great time for us all to evolve and become better humans with the time we've got. And I don't know about you, but after this is done, it's gonna be one of my first questions I ask to someone that I employ: what did you do during quarantine?
Didn't
come up with a list as long as my arm, I want nothing to do with you. You know,
some people are actually saying we had a big team, 300 and something, almost 400 plus people. And some people are saying, oh, because I could take people back now after the furlough. We had a furlough a bunch of people, I'm embarrassed to say. And some people, I make more on unemployment. That's not a person we need.
Nope, not at all. Not at all. And I think also the, I was having this conversation with our team. I know that a lot of people, my dad, myself, all of us have taken pay cuts, you know, or we've decided to make decisions that, even though on paper we've had the best quarter we've ever had, we don't know what's going to happen next. We've got to be smart about this thing and be frugal with our money. But we're all taking on other roles, right? And I think it's amazing to see how many people are willing to step up to the plate because they believe in the culture. They believe in what we're trying to do, that they know that we got their back. It's like a two-way street. And then you get the other kind of people that you're involved with that are like, what's in it for me kind of thing, or there's no support for me. It's like, hang on, we're just trying to keep this whole brand alive right now so we can all survive and support each other. So it's definitely speaking volumes for people's intentions, I guess, and where their hearts are at. For sure.
100%. All right. One last thing. What people are out there that aren't motivated, they're feeling down, they're on the couch. One, two, or three tips.
Okay. First tip would be to find protocol, man. It's hard to wake up with any reason or structure, right? Or a plan. Like I have everything planned. I have the year planned, the day planned, the week planned. If you don't wake up with something planned, what's the point in waking up? So that's one. Number two is move. Doesn't matter if you don't have the best workout. Doesn't matter if you don't have any equipment. All of these things are excuses. Get your body moving, man. We've got to have some positive endorphins flowing in the brain. And number three, take some time to focus on you. And maybe that'll make you a little bit happier to get out of that space. And don't be so judgmental on yourself right now. It's a really weird place to be.
Plan, move, rest.
There you go.
All right, you're awesome. I'll catch you later.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate
it. Bye-bye.
I told you she was pretty cool.
Yeah, she's fit, and she's like, I mean, now with this new modality of having apps and online, I mean, there's no excuse. Everyone's tuning in, and this is the best time ever. Everyone has time to get fit.
I forget his name. Maybe Marion remembers, but we had an awesome Stanford professor on, Nir Eyal.
Yeah.
And what Nir taught me, which I just can't get out of my head, is the idea that the number one motivator for human beings is the avoidance of discomfort. Mm. So you will avoid discomfort at all costs. And to exercise and to get fit, you gotta be uncomfortable. So that's why she didn't find it, right? That's why my mom didn't just find it, you know, early on. That's why I didn't find it, you didn't find it. And then at some point, there's some moment in your life, maybe you get sick.
Knock on wood,
maybe somebody turns you on to it, right?
Yeah.
But there's something that gets triggered. Maybe it's later in life you decide you want to live longer, you're no longer immortal.
Yeah. Well, I think that as human beings, we're part of nature, not different from it. We have to respect the patterns that we see around us. Everything in life struggles. If you look at a butterfly, when it's a caterpillar, it goes through metamorphosis, turns into goo. The only thing that lasts is something called the imaginal disc. As you've been saying through all of this, the standards don't change. You're still the same person. But as it comes out of the chrysalis, there was this little kid once who saw this butterfly struggling to get out of the chrysalis. He goes, oh, I'm going to help it. Cuts open the cocoon. The butterfly comes out. Its wings never fully form. Why? Because in that moment, when it has to struggle to get out of the cocoon, that's when it pushes the blood from the body of the butterfly into its wings. So struggle is a natural part of human development. And when you don't do it, you don't do rites of passage. You don't have vision quests. You don't become a full man or female. And like, it's part of the gig.
And by the way, Sever's not suggesting you have to worm your way out of a cocoon, but maybe it's a 1 mile walk every day. Maybe it's a cold shower, right? Maybe it's some burpees. Whatever that thing is, we need some struggle every single day.
Because I think that you forget that if you're struggling now, that this will just make it better. If you're having a hard time, why not try it? Because we've been up here for 5 years saying, try it. So you know what? If something's not working, if what did Viktor Frankl say? If you can't change the situation, change your attitude. So it's like, if what you're doing's not working, see if just a little struggle every day totally switches your mindset.
I think his thing was, I'm not going to nail it, but it was the idea that when you realize you can't change your situation, you change yourself.
Yeah.
But if you've got the ability to continue to change your situation, you never change yourself, right? So you got to put yourself through those hard times. I never changed so much in a positive way than when I was doing really hard things. I was in Alaska. I was in waist-deep snow.
Drinking olive oil.
No end in sight. 30 below temperatures. Eyelashes frozen shut. Death a certainty. You really get to meet yourself.
I think you even were smelling McDonald's on that one.
Smelling McDonald's, which is the best part. But another thing she talked about, this idea of being addicted, And I think we're all addicted to things. We all have an addiction, and you got to make it a healthy addiction.
But it's passion, right? So she's saying, and I completely agree with her, she says, we always try to squash all these hyperactive kids, me being one of them. What those kids are is that's passion, that's energy, that's wanting to run around and get fit. That's the time when these little beings are looking for what they can dive into. Human beings are so adaptable. That's why we can live in every ecosystem and every climate, because we see our resources, we figure out how to utilize them, and we make it work. And it's like, she figured out how to make it work, and luckily she translated that into good, because they always say there's the parable, there's good and there's evil. Which one wins? Whichever one you feed.
Whichever right? one you feed
more.
So
we feed them seeds and nuts. Feed good.
Feed good. Feed good.
Sprout good.
Listen, here's the message. We'll end it with this. Here's the message. The message is, do something hard every single day. Take a cold shower. Do some burpees. Go for a run. Figure out what thing you, what pain, what suffering you could live with on a daily basis that's healthy. I promise you, you will be a lot happier. And in this world, by the way, you're not going to be considered a freak like my mom was, because everybody's into it.
It's a regenerative force. Try it out. Let us know. See us next week, and follow us on Instagram too at Spartan Up Pod.
Yeah, Spartan Up Pod. Leave a couple of comments, invite some friends, and let's get some people healthy.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Honey Stinger, made with organic honey and delicious ingredients. Use the code HSSpartan2020 at honeystinger.com to save 30% off.